Hey, hey, welcome back to the Woody Overton Window, otherwise known as the WOW. I am Mike Agavino sitting here with my buddy.
What's up, y'all? Woody Overton in the house.
He's looking good and healthy, folks. I mean, I can see each time we get together a little bit more, Woody is back in the game. 95%, 98%?
I think so. Feeling good and almost done with this freaking medicine, and life is good, right?
Good, folks. He'll be back skinning wild animals in no time, probably.
Yeah, within a couple months. Yeah, we are getting ready for hunting season. Hey, did you see the UFC fight the other night? Ryan Loader beat that guy in like less than 2 minutes of the first round.
Where does that like put him? What's next for him?
So now he's in the semifinals in the house, and if he wins that, then he'll go to the fight for the championship in Vegas at the Spear, I think it is. I'm not sure.
That's where they're doing it.
I'm pretty sure that's where it's going to be. But
when will that semifinal fight be?
They have two teams, featherweights and middleweights, in the house, and they alternate each week. So I think they have probably four more weeks of that, and then they will know who goes to Vegas. And then their two coaches, the two females, are both past world champions. One of them's the current world champion. They've had like three fights, so that'll be the headline. And then whoever makes it, out of the house will get the chance to fight for the contract for UFC. I think it's like a $250,000 contract and to become a member of the UFC. But anyway, he talked about, and he teared up, and when they were interviewing him, how he came up and he had dyslexia and he didn't know. And his teachers told him, told his parents, you need to teach him a trade like welding or something. He'll never go to college. Well, he ended up not only going to college, but he was a national champion in wrestling. Yeah. So he talked about, kids with dyslexia and hoping to give them a shot. Just a real class act. I knew though it was going to be a short fight because it's an hour long show and the fight is 3 5-minute rounds plus in between time. And hell, they were still interviewing him up to like 10 minutes left. I'm like, somebody's about to get hurt. Yeah.
So, well, that's a great story. Congrats to him. And we'll look forward to the semifinals.
Right.
So, Woody, most of the country, I'm sure, is aware of the Hurricane Beryl that blasted through the Houston and the western part of Louisiana earlier this week. You've got an incredible story coming out of that.
Yeah, man, this is truly, truly a sad story, but a great story. There was a baby found, and I'm going to tell you about it, a 1-year-old, and they're calling him the miracle baby. And his 4-year-old brother was found dead, and his mother was arrested in Mississippi before this baby was found crawling alongside Interstate 10 in Benton, Louisiana. And y'all, that's all the way west. We all know how big Interstate 10 is. It runs the whole country, right? But that Benton is right before the Texas line. And y'all, guess what? The 1-year-old miracle baby has survived. Now, according to an online release on Tuesday, at approximately 9 a.m., the Calcasieu Parish Sheriff's Office deputies were called after a passerby saw a baby in a ditch along Interstate 10 eastbound near mile marker 10 in Benton, Louisiana. So that's 10 miles from Texas line. Police have been searching for the 1-year-old after the body of his 4-year-old brother was found on Monday in water near the Benton Welcome Center. It's crazy. Detectives had been advised that the boy had last been seen on Saturday, July 6th, with his mother, Aaliyah N. Jack, 25, of Lake Charles. Now, Jack was located in Mississippi without the 1-year-old by the Meridian Police Department, and she was taken into custody. In a press conference on Tuesday, July 9th, the Calcasieu Parish Sheriff Gary Stitch Guillory announced that the baby had been found. He said, "We looked at this 1-year-old as our miracle baby because he will survive. Unbelievable. This kid spent 2 days out in the weather on the side of the highway. That's what the
hurricane weather, right?
Right. And the sheriff was emotional when he was talking about this. And he said, thank God that trucker seen him. If you're in another part of the country, you might not realize that we're talking about the westernmost stretch of Louisiana, which is near the Texas border. Y'all, it's actually where it was found. It's 10 miles from the Texas border. And the air was hit really pretty hard by the hurricane. And that's during the exact time this infant was alone in the elements. Now, the sheriff said that the one-year-old had multiple bug bites, but otherwise seemed to be okay. And they confirmed that the baby had been taken to a local hospital and was in stable condition. This is a tragic incident. Our detectives are currently investigating, Guillory said. Fortunately, we were able to locate the one-year-old who was taken to a local hospital to be checked out. He is now safe and in the care of authorities. We understand the community's concern and are committed to ensuring justice for the children involved. Now, the Calcasieu Parish Sheriff's Office detectives are actively working to gather all the information and details surrounding this case and the death of the four-year-old. We will dedicate all necessary resources to ensure a thorough investigation. Our hearts go out to the family member of these two children, he added. Now, autopsy reports are still pending on the four-year-old boy who was found Monday, the sheriff said, and the child's body has been had been found in a lake behind Interstate 10 Welcome Center near the Texas state line. And authorities soon learned that the four-year-old had a baby brother that was missing, and they were preparing to search for the baby in the water where the four-year-old was found when they received the fateful call from the trucker. Now, Elijah Jack was arrested Monday in Meridian. Like I told you, that's more than 350 miles from where her children were found. And she's being extradited to Louisiana and faces charges of failure to report a missing child. And the sheriff said that a Louisiana judge had set the bond at $300,000. So look, that rest area is basically like 8 or 9 miles from where the miracle baby was found. So I guess she chunked the one baby in the pond, or they're calling it a lake, behind the Welcome Center. And then chunked the other one out 8 miles down the road, and it lived. It's crazy. It truly is a miracle.
Absolutely. I mean, so I guess they find the four-year-old and they're able to identify the four-year-old somehow, so that they're now looking for her. So maybe somebody reported a missing or something.
A family member had to report a miss. Well, they found the body and then they go look to see. Yeah, somebody had reported missing and the baby had been put in NCIC and they were able to identify it all out. Off of that.
And then they somehow learned that she's up in Meridian.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
she's from Lake Charles.
They put a bolo out on her vehicle and, you know, they caught her hundreds and hundreds of miles away from her babies. So she's probably going to get the death penalty. So,
sounds like she just dumped her kids.
Yeah, that, I don't know. You never know what's going through someone's mind, right?
Well, this wasn't intentional, because that story really is kind of, even though it was developing Monday and Tuesday, was getting a lot of coverage this morning. So we didn't intend to go with child stories back to back, but we got another one out of Florida. And, you know, we've all done stupid, irresponsible things under the influence. And most of us have been fortunate enough that none of those things have ended in tragedy, or we've been able to avoid the near tragedy. This is a story out of Daytona Beach where a drunk guy goes just way too far, and horror ensues with, again, a four-year-old. So this Florida man, his name is Brandon Gilmore. He's 31 years old. He apparently is traveling to Daytona Beach and is staying at this resort called the Sandalwood Beach Resort. And he meets an unidentified woman at the pool at this resort. This is on Saturday. They spend the entire afternoon at the pool drinking and, you know, I guess getting to know each other, and eventually end up in the woman's hotel room. Now, the woman has her four-year-old son with her, So yeah. I don't know exactly what goes on in the bedroom with the kid there, anything like that. But at some point, Gilmore decides that he's going to horseplay and try and scare the kid a little bit. Just, I think he was drunk and trying to play around with the kid, and takes the kid out on the balcony of the hotel room. And this is a second floor hotel room, and is holding him and dangling him over the side of the balcony. And he loses control with one arm. And so now he's dangling this four-year-old over a balcony with just one arm, holding on to the kid's leg. I mean, loses control, and the kid falls head first from that balcony down to the cement floor below, like lands right on his head. There is an eyewitness, a woman by the name of Dasani Bentley, and she told WESH-TV that, quote, he was swinging him, playing with him, and then he let him go, and then he had him by just one foot, and then the kid slipped right out and fell directly on his head onto the concrete, no grass. Bentley said Gilmore and the boy's mom, who had only met 5 hours earlier at the hotel pool, dashed downstairs after the youngster hit the ground. His face started turning purple. This is again the Dasani Bentley speaking. His face started turning purple. He obviously was getting no oxygen. It was not a good situation. The child was rushed to the Halifax Health Medical Center, and unbelievably, here's another one. The boy survived. He's now actually been discharged from the hospital, and they are saying that they don't think he's going to have any long-term brain issues, brain damage or anything as a result. I can't imagine landing on your head from whatever that is, 15 feet or
that's crazy.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Police said the video surveillance footage captured Gilmore holding the boy in his arms before grabbing him by one leg and holding him over the balcony before the boy fell to the ground. Gilmore's facing aggravated child abuse charges, and he's awfully lucky that he's not facing a whole lot more than that, because
boy, I think mom should be facing something also. You know, that whether it's, I don't know what, I mean, it's going to let some stranger hang your kid off the balcony and drop him. Yeah. It's like, you know, Michael Jackson putting his kid off the balcony, but at least he didn't drop him. Right. Or whoever's kid it was.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. No, that was his kid. Look, I love rough horseplay with my kids when they were small. It was one of their favorite things to do, beat up dad. Right. And, you know, on occasion, dad might have had a few in them when those fights were going on. But you have to have enough sense, even in that state, to not put the kid in danger. I remember my father almost kicked the crap out of my cousin when my much older cousin was playing football with me when I was in second grade, actually. And he hit me so hard, I got a compound fracture of my clavicle.
Wow. Popped
completely out of my skin. And I mean, I'm screaming on the front lawn, and my father's half worried about me and mainly focused on kicking the shit out of my cousin. So
I can imagine,
crazy stuff happens, but thank God the kid is okay.
Yeah, for sure, right? It's two stories in a row.
Woody, do you know why I want to learn more Italian?
Why, Ago?
Because my niece is getting married next month, and that means a wedding full of these crazy Italians from out of town.
Huh. And when it comes to learning a new language, there's only one leader, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone's the most trusted language learning program, period. Well, I've come a good ways using Rosetta Stone, but it's time to take it to the next level. My niece's wedding will be great prep for a trip I want to take next year.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. No English translations. Rosetta Stone helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
And the True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Lifetime membership has all 25 of the languages for the rest of your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 languages for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Woody, did you know you can't see a wrinkle? What we're seeing is the shadow inside the wrinkle. Top Beverly Hills plastic surgeon Dr. Lakey has helped countless celebrities achieve flawless complexions both on and off screen. He says the secret is to eliminate the shadow. And there are two ways you can do that. Fill in the crease itself and reflect light away from the shadow. Fortunately, he's found a way anyone can do just that to achieve a flawless red carpet look right from home. It's called Deep Wrinkle Filler. Deep Wrinkle Filler combines a unique blend of skin-like polymers and light-reflecting diamond dust to visibly fill in the look of fine lines and wrinkles. Best of all, this groundbreaking formula helps nourish the skin to improve its natural texture every time you use it.
Dude, I almost died a few weeks back. If you don't think that gave me some extra wrinkles, I'm in my 40s. I thought it was cool to have a wrinkle or two. Now I get it. Who wants wrinkles?
Agreed. And the best part for me is it's easy to apply, has a pleasing scent, and you notice a difference instantly. Go to BeverlyHillsMD.com/RLRC to get up to 68% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want to visibly fill in stubborn wrinkles, go to BeverlyHillsMD.com/RLRC today.
Well, staying in Florida, and we got a another dose of crazy. I mean, raise your hand if you knew this was coming, but former President Trump has now officially challenged President Biden to a golf match. The former president did this rally down at Doral Golf Club there in Miami, which he owns. And of course, he described as one of the greatest golf courses on earth. He also said he wanted to take Biden on in a second debate while he was making these comments. But it was his first major rally in more than a week. And, you know, he had been showing a lot more discipline on the campaign trail prior to this rally. But he took the opportunity to, you know, to blast Biden on a number of things, and then turned the conversation to his debate performance and this golf match. So he said, even according to the fake news media, it was the most decisive and overwhelming defeat in the history of debates. Even CNN said when I walked off stage that it was one of the greatest performances they'd ever seen. But it was sort of easy if you want to know the truth. But don't worry for Joe. He's a very bad guy. Remember that. He's a very bad guy. Don't feel sorry for him. So tonight, I'm officially offering Joe the chance to redeem himself in front of the entire world, Trump said. Let's do another debate this week so that Sleepy Joe can prove to everyone all over the world that he has what it takes to be president. But this time, it will be man-to-man. No moderators, no hold bars. Just name the place anytime. Trump then issued his formal golf match challenge to Biden. It'll be among the most watched sporting events in history, he said. Maybe bigger than the Ryder Cup or the Masters. Now, Trump's predicting he'd get a bigger audience than the Masters for his golf match. I will even give Joe Biden 10 strokes aside. 10 strokes, that's a lot. That means 20 strokes in case you don't play golf. I will give him 10 strokes aside, and if he wins, I will give a charity of his choice, any charity that he wants, $1 million. The Biden campaign responded to the challenge from Trump. James Singer, who was a spokesperson for the campaign, said, Trump hasn't been in public for 12 days, and now he comes out challenging the president of the United States to play golf. Singer said that the president should, that he would instead challenge Trump to create jobs, stand up to the Russian President Vladimir Putin, and not break the law. Joe Biden doesn't have time for Trump's weird antics, he said in the statement. He's busy leading America and defending the world. Well, online betting sites, little tongue-in-cheek, but they're acting like they're taking this whole thing seriously. And so they've actually made odds on this potential match. And BetOnline released odds saying that Trump, even giving away 10 strokes aside, is favored to win with odds of minus 3,300 or 1 in 33. So that means if you bet $330 on Trump to win the match, you'd only win $10.
Right.
Conversely, if you bet $330 on Biden to win the match, you'd win nearly $10,000. So that gives you an idea that the betting markets don't exactly believe that Biden is an 8 handicap today, like he claimed in the debate. Now, this is, it's all stupid, and it's just so unbelievably ridiculous that that our presidential politics have devolved into potential golf challenges, et cetera. But Biden did claim to be an 8 handicap during that debate. And if you stop and you take that for what it's worth, I mean, he said it in a serious tone. He either is delusional and believes that, or he was just lying. And I think from everything that we see following the news and everything else, is I think he's at this point pretty delusional. And so, you know, look, it's all stupid and emblematic of the times, but Trump took advantage of the opportunity from the golf cock-off. So I wouldn't count on that one happening, but there you have it. Any thoughts on that one, Woody?
I read this morning that Biden's having a big boy press conference at Thursday. Yeah, so we're recording this a day early. Did you see the other day? I was with my dad, and he was trying to tell me about it, and then I read about it. Where Biden, I mean, I don't care what side you're on, but he was in like Philadelphia or somewhere in Pennsylvania, and he's thanking the crowd. He said, "I want to thank y'all for getting me elected to the Senate or Congress, whatever it was." That and then the crowd responded, and he was like, "No, I'm serious. Y'all carried me through every time." Well, the only problem was he got elected to that position from Connecticut, not in Pennsylvania.
Well, Delaware.
Oh, Delaware, yeah. Delaware, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been Delaware.
Well, shit, I mean, I didn't run for it, but he didn't know where, he didn't know what state he got elected in. I don't know, man.
They're going to be writing about this and talking about this. Hopefully the country somehow gets through all of this and comes back together following the elections, and no matter who the candidates end up being in the end, but this has been a ticking time bomb for years, and everybody around him, everybody in the media, everybody ran cover in this thing, and it all just, the dam broke the night of the debate, and now the aftermath, I mean, it's just all falling apart, and there's no easy path. The thing that amazes me the most is that it's Hunter who now appears to be sort of the right arm of Joe, guiding much of Joe's decision making right now, and that really makes me wonder, you know, how much of this is all really just a negotiation, because Biden's not super rich like a lot of presidents are, or even like they know they will become following their presidency. I mean, Obama wasn't rich, but within a year became mega rich because of all the appearance fees and speeches and books and everything else. And so I would think that money and freedom from future prosecution for his family members would be the offer that he needs on the table to walk away gracefully. Because the only thing I can see here with everybody who's calling for him to leave and with what the polls are saying is that he's holding out to get the best deal he can get for. And I don't know that, I mean, everything has to be transparent at this point. So I don't know how they, like a big donor comes in and says, well, you know, here's $50 million, go away, we'll pardon your son, and you'll never be prosecuted for anything you did. But I think it's going to, I think it's going to take something along those lines to get him to do this voluntarily. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it is nonstop theater. But, you know, Trump's 78 and Biden is 81. So it seems like it might be more appropriate for these two to be planning funerals rather than golf matches.
Well, hold on, Aga. Let's be fair. And I don't think either one of them is going to be kicking the bucket anytime soon.
Well, I guess I agree with you on that. But when it does come time, do you know what Trump would love?
No, what would he love?
Trump would love that humongous American flag up in Broussard, Louisiana. He'd say, have you seen that humongous flag? I want to be embalmed right underneath that beautiful, humongous American flag.
Well, I think our friends Roy, Kristen, and Kristen up at Louisiana Funeral Services and Louisiana Crematory Service, they don't discriminate. They bury Republicans and Democrats. So I think they'd be happy to have him or Biden when it's time.
That's right, Woody. Whether you're a former president, Democrat, Republican, independent, or just about anything else, at some point, your day will arrive. And when it does, someone who loves you can drive to Broussard and find that humongous American flag where Roy, Kristen, and Kristen will treat you even better than a dead president.
Yeah, you know what to do. Go to LouisianaFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com. And our trusted friends, Roy, Kristen, and Kristen will take great care of you. That's LouisianaFuneralServices.com or LAPetCrematory.com.
Rest easy.
So, Mike, let me take you out to another sad, sad thing, sad day. In Texas, a detective was killed yesterday morning after he was ambushed while pursuing an aggravated assault suspect. And that suspect remains on the run, and a manhunt is underway as we record this here on Thursday. Now, the unidentified detective was 28 years old and had been with the sheriff's office for 5 years, and this is according to Sheriff Ed Gonzalez. In an early morning news conference, ACSO Chief Deputy Mike Lee said the incident began around 10 p.m. on Wednesday when a call came in for an aggravated assault at a Little Caesars Pizza in Northeast Houston. Now, an employee at the store was reportedly assaulted by a customer who came to the location to pick up a pizza, and he got pissed off when his order was wrong. Now, the customer, who has not been identified, allegedly verbally assaulted the employee before pulling out a gun, pistol whipping them, and then hauling ass in a vehicle. The employee was able to provide police with the car's make, model, and license plate number. Now, detectives and officers on patrol began looking for the vehicle, and they entered the license plate number into the city's Flock camera system, where they were able to determine a specific location with a history of hits. Now, several detectives went to the area to look for the vehicle, but broke away when they couldn't find it. One detective went back to the area and notified others that he had found the vehicle, but not the suspect, as he was setting up on the car. Chief Deputy Lee said there was some confusion with radio transmissions, but they knew he was having a phone conversation with another detective. And during that conversation, the detective was apparently ambushed. Now, officers rushed to the location, which Gonzalez said was in the 13200 block of Italian Cypress Trail, and they found the detective's unmarked vehicle riddled with bullets. The detective was struck multiple times and is in critical condition. And due to the severity of the injuries and the adjacent location of the hospital, they decided it was probably in the best interest not to wait for EMS, and they placed the deputy in one of the patrol vehicles and rushed into the emergency room where he succumbed to his gunshot wounds. The unidentified detective was a member of a very elite task force, according to Lee. This group of every day goes out and hunts down child rapists, homicide suspects, and some of the most egregious criminals out there, and that's what they do every day for a living. And he was very good at his job, very well thought of. Now, at this hour, the suspect remains on the run, but Lee said officers have a good idea of who he is and have set up SWAT teams at two locations in an effort to apprehend him. I have no doubt between the forces of the Harris County Sheriff's Office and the Houston Police Department that we will have the suspect in custody in a very timely manner, Lee said. While his description is vague, the suspect is a black male, last seen wearing a hat and a black shirt with a jersey with unknown writing on it, and his age is unknown. Gonzalez expressed his extreme sadness on social media and said the department will not rest until the suspect is behind bars. I hate that. What
a freaking story.
I mean, the fuck? Over a pizza, man. We're hearing more and more about, you know, these people getting their coffee wrong or this, whatever, and they just act a fool. But this guy,
there was just looking at potential stories for this episode, there was shooting at a Sonic that caused the death of the manager of the Sonic location. There was one at Church's Fried Chicken. I don't know what state that was in, but all in a couple of days. And how far gone must you be mentally to allow something like that to be the trigger for a shootout with the police? I mean,
a shootout, an execution.
Well,
evidently he snuck up on this detective sitting in his car and shot him to death. Right. I don't know. We report on more of these stories every week, and it's just stupid. But this guy's probably got a shit list of other charges, and I'm sure it's not his first rodeo. The point of executing the cop, I mean, he could have just ran. He didn't have to go up to the detective's vehicle and shoot him to death.
Well, let's hope he tries to put up a fight, and the cops can return the favor.
Let's see what kind of tough guy he is when the SWAT team's got.
Rifles
on him. Yeah,
we've been a little bit heavier than we usually are. So let's lighten it up a little bit. This story, when I saw it, it reminded me. It's the perfect combination of my old Daily Show segment and your Daily Show segment. So this would be the Kinky Dumb Criminals story, and one of the great Kinky Dumb Criminal stories I've ever seen. So this is out of Georgia. So how do you get to be a Kinky Dumb Criminal? Here's how you get to be a Kinky Dumb Criminal. First, you have to be filmed in a Georgia Mexican restaurant engaging in an explicit sex act with a margarita. And then you have to get arrested because you complained to the police about your X-rated video spreading online. That's what happens here. So a Georgia brain surgeon, just kidding, named Joe Boyette recorded a video of himself attempting to funnel a margarita down the butt of his wife, Mary Sweats, inside the Rodeo Mexican restaurant in Waycross, Georgia. However, being the brain surgeon that he is, Boyette couldn't get the funnel to work right. So he got frustrated and got rid of it and decided to just pour the margarita straight from the pitcher down his wife's ass as she was on all fours in a booth in the restaurant. So this is getting filmed in this restaurant. And you got a little screenshot that I shared with you there. We'll post that screenshot. But so screen grabs from the explicit video show the woman on her hands and knees in this restaurant booth with her butt exposed, with a man in a baseball cap and an orange shirt holding a margarita behind her. He is literally drinking the margarita off her ass, from her ass. Nice. So one image shows him pouring the beverage while another shows him grinning after completing the act. So Boyette, once again, being the genius that he is, decides to share the video that he took with some friends. And eventually it makes its way online where it soon goes viral. Sweats was apparently not very happy about the millions of people that were watching her man Joe drink a margarita off her ass. So she naturally reached out to the authorities. She called the cops to lodge an official complaint about the couple's salt rim shenanigans going viral. And thanks to her call, the police now had both hers and Boyette's identity, which triggered their arrests. So Boyette turned himself in on Monday, and Sweats turned herself in on Tuesday. The restaurant slammed the, quote, inappropriate incident and warned that any employees involved would be facing consequences. quote, we recently became aware of an inappropriate incident that took place in our restaurant. We want to make it clear that such behavior is completely unacceptable and does not reflect our values or our mission to provide a family-friendly dining experience. No, it certainly doesn't. While Sweat was a willing participant in the funnel fiasco, the restaurant is probing, probably not a great choice of words, whether a so far unidentified employee may have also been involved in the X-rated antics. So maybe they had
shot the video. Yeah.
So we are taking the matter very seriously and are conducting a thorough investigation in collaboration with the authorities, the restaurant added. Any employees found to be involved will face appropriate action. So just some good, clean, family fun in Georgia. What do you,
been around,
what do you think about that?
I've been around for a long time. I've never heard anybody funneling anything out of anybody else's ass. Much less in a restaurant. So I'm guessing this other, I mean, from the photo that you showed me, obviously there's a third party taking the video, right? Because he's been over doing that on, I mean, unless they set the phone up or something.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. That's the employee. That person's name will eventually come out and they will get tossed. But so the funny part to me is just she gets so indignant about it that she goes to the police about the video, not realizing what the heck is going to happen to her when she does that. So
like recess, no class. Yeah.
Not smart. You know, you can get drunk pretty fast in a Mexican restaurant and do some pretty stupid things.
Yeah.
I remember one time in New York City, we were out with a client, and this is probably me and like 10 other people from the staff out with a client, and somehow we get into a game of strip quarters with margaritas. And I ended up, by the end of the game, I was there with just a sock over a certain body part. That's all I had left. And people were wearing, the women were wearing the guys' blazers because they had nothing left of their clothing, but we let them cover themselves with the blazers so the restaurant didn't figure out what was going on. And that was before the days of video in
cell phone cameras and all that, right?
Thank God that it was.
You're right. Yeah, I can imagine the shit that we would have on video had they had that back in the day.
We'd have probably grown up as much more responsible.
Yeah, I doubt that. Man, we would have been in prison a whole lot sooner, right?
Or that.
You know, talking about advances in technology, why don't you tell me about this? The world's first Miss AI competition. I know AI is your jam.
Yeah, this really caught my eye because we did a lot of stories on the Daily Show about AI, and I remember we did one, I don't know, 6 months ago about these personas, these AI personas that were starting TikTok and Instagram accounts and building up a huge number of followers. Well, I found this story where it all got taken to another level. They held the very first Miss AI competition and crowned a queen. Her name is, should I say her name? Its name, I guess, is Kenza Lely. And her persona is that, you know, she's beauty, brains, and AI magic. She explained that despite not feeling real emotions like an actual human, she was genuinely pumped to top the AI charts. She beat roughly 1,500 computer-modified beauties for this title. She walks away, it walks away with a $20,000 grand prize, which, of course, actually goes straight to the hands of her creator, which is a young tech executive in Morocco. But neither you nor I don't think would have chosen Kenza. So I thought it would be fun for us to have our own pageant and choose from some of the finalists. So I've got five of the, there were like 10 finalists in this thing. I've got five of those, and we're going to post, or we have posted, folks, the lineup of these five. So hopefully, as you're listening to this, you're looking at that lineup and you are predicting what Woody's choices are going to be for the fourth runner-up, the third runner-up, the second runner-up, the first runner-up, and his queen. And then I will do the same. That so without without any further ado, Woody, you see the you yep. see the five.
I do.
I'm gonna predict your order. Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna predict that your fourth runner-up, so the one coming in fifth, is number three. Now, don't tell me until the end, but I'm gonna say number three is your number five. I'm gonna say number two is your number four. I'm gonna say number five is your number three. Number one is your number two, and number four is your number one.
Pretty close. You got a swap. I'll do it in the reverse order. My number one would be number four. My number two would be number one. My number three would be number five. My number four would be number three. And my last would be number two.
Okay. So I actually got your top three in the correct order.
Right.
That's
pretty good.
All right. Oh, that's pretty good. That's knowing right. your, so let me knowing predict, your wingman.
Let me predict yours. All right. I'm going to do them. Okay, I'll do it in a reverse order also. So your last would be number two, then three, then five, and four, and one.
Wow. So we did the same exact thing. We reversed four and five. So I would have had three as fifth and two as fourth, but my first, second, and third, you got right. So that's crazy. So you knew number one is my look, and I knew number right. four is your look. I mean, they're both, unfortunately, fake, but they're both beautiful.
Yeah.
But man, that's amazing how close we got.
Yeah, picking pretty those. Close. Pretty close. This is crazy that they even have in this competition. Of course, the true number ones would be Miss Jerry and Cindy.
Good. I'm glad you got that in.
Right. And the rest of it doesn't matter because these bitches are all fake.
Well,
hypothetical.
It is. Look, they are fake. And right now their existence is on these digital platforms, but we are not that far.
I don't know. It's crazy.
A decade. I mean, if you're so go back to 17-year-old Woody, mm-hmm. and let's say you're turning 17 in the year 2050, and for a couple hundred bucks, pick from your lineup there, and they are as real as real can be. You can converse. You can implant personalities and interests. You can, mm-hmm. I mean, they're able to do everything from drive a car to, you know, they can't deliver a baby, but.
So are they like the fake flesh and shit too? Like bodies now or just AI still?
Yeah. Yeah. No. They're.
If they were bodies and shit, you could program, nobody would ever get married again. And well, females included, they could program your own perfect man and tell it to shut the fuck up or to listen to you when you wanted to and all that. That I think the human race would become extinct.
Well,
everybody quit having kids.
Yeah. When people talk about all the dangers of AI, they usually go down the road of, you know, AI controlling ballistic missile systems and all of this kind of stuff, you know, the end of the world through world war being caused. But I could easily see if this got out of control, the cultural destruction of the world, because social media has already done a lot of cultural damage. next wave with AI just is completely destructive to culture. I mean, we are not anywhere near replacement rate in the United States in terms of we have less babies being born every day than people that die every day. So our population is reducing organically for the first time ever. And that's also true of most other countries around the planet, the mature ones anyway. And so we need people. People create things. They create businesses. They create commerce. They generate revenue. And, this kind of thing could be every bit as destructive to the long-term need to have thriving economies as any of the AI scenarios involving weapons, et cetera. It's pretty scary.
All that shit is what it is. But at the end of the day, pretty sure sex rules the world. And if people could have that perfect version of whatever they want to create it, and then it's something on there they didn't like, all they got to do is press a button and change it. Yeah. That's going to be a real shit show. So,
well, I think it's particularly threatening. We're playing this game this way, but like you said, in the other direction, you know, here's your honey do list. Shut up.
Right. Shut up. I mean, that goes for both male and females. I mean, because they're not going to do one without the other. It'd be interesting to see, but unfortunately, I don't believe I'll be alive for that. Or maybe I will be. And I'll be an old man and my kids will give me a present or something.
I'm a nice, I'm getting in trouble. A nice night nurse to take care of
that happens. They get the human form and we'll get it all worked out and they just program a fucking doctor's memory in it, or not memory, but doctor's knowledge in it or nurse knowledge in it to make all that shit extinct on it. I mean, I don't know. But
yeah, Cyberdyne Systems wasn't that far off when they were working with Schwarzenegger in the 80s, right?
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, so, dude. Well, be safe and blame this one on me.
when Cindy listens
back. But good weekend and state of trouble. And let's hope, you said we have the big boy press conference this afternoon, which I can't believe that's what they're calling this thing, a big boy press conference.
Big boy press conference, yeah. I'm an independent. I don't care. Well, I do care naturally, but but something's got to fucking happen, man. But we'll see what happens with the press conference. So anyway.
Yeah, I might make some popcorn for that one. Anyway, feel good. Have a good weekend. And we'll be back with you on Monday on the WOW. Thanks, Woody.
All right. Peace, y'all.
Aglets.